You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Happy Resurrection Sunday, everyone. Today we are ending our series called Foretold. Like, first to turn our Bibles, farewell to 1 Corinthians. Now we're going to go to the epistle of Paul. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. We can read this all together. And in fact, if you're going to look at the entirety of chapter 15, it talks about the resurrection, our resurrection, the resurrection, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to look into verses 1 to 11, and afterwards, we're going to look into verses 12 down to verse 16. Okay, so it says here, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." Is this the fifth or sixth installment of our series? This is the fifth one. You know, we've been looking at the book of Isaiah, and if you've noticed, I'm on the epistles now. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians. I'll tell you something. You know, I pulled these notes. What I'm preaching here today, I pulled these notes from when I was a student. I got this from my email. So I had this when I was a student, started studying the resurrection of Christ. And this is some of the things that I've got, of course. When I revisited this last night, I changed some of these things. But I realized while I was working this, I realized, okay, if this was a note that I've written from more than a decade ago, how is this relevant to our generation right now, to our day right now? And the answer is very simple. You know what? God's word is timeless. The gospel is nothing new. Is it right? The gospel is a 2,000-year-old news about a man, his death, his life, and his resurrection from 2,000 years ago. And like what I was telling you when we were looking at this series, we're looking at this from the vantage point of someone looking at the mountain range and from someone who's actually on the summit, the narratives of the gospel. And we are here right now. Wala pong bago. Okay, wala pong bago. Wala po kayong bagong maririnig ngayon. Hindi naman po ibig sabihin na because tinamad akong gumawa ng preaching. Okay, it's just that there's really nothing new whenever we start looking at the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm gonna preach here today, or perhaps teach, are things that you already know about. But it helps us a lot when we keep hearing these things over and over again. Amen? A couple of days ago, I think many of you, especially our students, took photos of the full moon. Diba? There was a full moon a couple of days ago, and anyone have seen that full moon? I realize that every time someone looks at a full moon, there are different perspectives. A lot of young people, well, I'm not looking down on young people, but a lot of young people, whenever they see a full moon, they say, "Wow, wow, full moon. It's so Instagrammable. It's something that we have to take a picture of." For the older folks, every time they see a full moon, they think of something else. Ang isipin nila, mahal ang isda bukas. For our foreigner friends here, every time older people would see a full moon, they would say something like, "The price of the fish tomorrow is quite expensive." So those are two different perspectives looking at the same thing. Is that right? The reason why I'm sharing that is because, you know, sometimes if you don't know the substance of something, it really doesn't have an effect in our lives. We're just on the part where this feels good. Church is wonderful. Church is good. I have a lot of friends in the church. But I want you to understand this. If you get down, if you go to God's word and really study it for yourself, you're going to understand, man, every single thing that the word of God says has a substantial impact in my life. The reason I'm saying this, because, you know, I came to church and the first thing that happened to me was I got connected with friends in the church. This is my first Christian church, Victory. I never attended any church before, but I did attend Iglesia Ni Cristo. I went inside a mosque. I've done all of these things, but this is my first Christian church. The reason why I got plugged in was because of friends. Well, we have friends in the church. I got plugged in this church because of friends, and I realized these are genuine friends that I could have here in this church. And I like the way they dress up. People in the church, they always wear long sleeves. During that time, they wear necktie. I mean, Can you imagine that I learned to tie a necktie in the church? I learned to have confidence in speaking English in the church. I learned to pray in the church. And you know, I've had a lot of these friends, but I realized over the years, though those things are good, having friends in the church or good church community is actually nice. This has been ordained by God. But at the end of the day, what really saves us is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will change your life is not the friends that you have around you, but what will change your life is your understanding and your embracing and your obeying of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I remember, you know, C.S. Lewis says, you know, there's a tendency in our age to believe something because it is good, he said, rather than because it is true. So I think in our generation right now, the challenge is for us to understand that that which we believe is good and it is true. You folks know that. I mean, this is not just some good thing. This is not just some Sunday thing. This is not just us greeting each other. Happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday. It's beyond those colors, beyond these greetings, beyond these festivities perhaps. Beyond this celebration is something so deep that I pray to God that all of us here in this 9 a.m. service will truly understand this, and this will change your life forever from the inside out. And this is not about a wonderful preaching perhaps, a wonderful service. It's not about the mood or the emotions. It's about what you do, about the knowledge that you have. You know, I came to realize, you know, that whenever we start talking about the resurrection, you know what, we know what happened at the cross, is it right? We know what happened at the cross. On the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you've watched the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'd come to understand that what happened to this man right here was so graphic, it was so brutal, it was so sad, right? It was so sad, it was bloody. Put all the adjectives that you can think of. And you know, it could be summarized with having a man on the cross. But here's what I realized that as much as those things happened, I realized that, you know what, God in His grace, He didn't allow us to have the last memory of Him in us, of Him hanging on the cross. I never saw my grandfather die, so because I didn't see him die, my last memory of him was when we were watching boxing together, Mike Tyson. When I attended college here, that's when he died, so I don't have a graphic memory of him lying on the bed and suffering. And Jesus, in His grace and goodness in our lives, He didn't leave us with this kind of memory. Friends, He left us with a picture of an empty tomb. He left us with a picture of an empty tomb. And it's an exclamation point of the 3 years of His preaching. It's an exclamation point of the many messianic prophecies that point to Him. And here's another thing. You know, it's very impossible for someone to study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and not fall in love with Him. I mean, if you're here and you're not a Christian, may I submit this to you? If you have a God whose only motive is to love you, why won't you worship Him? Why won't you love Him back? I realize, you know, just imagine this. If you're one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, look at this one. He actually hung around for a while before He ascended. He died, is it right? He was buried. After 3 days, the Bible says he resurrected. He rose from the grave. After a couple of weeks, he ascended to heaven. Is that right? But in the years, or rather in the days and weeks that he was here before he ascended, what are the things that Jesus did? What are the things that he started doing among his disciples? First, look at this one. He erased the doubts of Thomas. Another thing, he reinstated Peter. He encouraged and ministered to several more people before he ascended. It gives us a picture that there is an image that he wants us to understand, that he is living a victorious life, and therefore we can live a victorious life. And that is basically the essence of resurrection. Today, what I want to look into are just two things: the truth of the resurrection, and the other one is the significance of the resurrection in our life. Because no matter how true it is, if you don't know that it is good, it will stand to no effect in our lives. It will just remain a news that's an archive somewhere else. Let's talk about the first one. The truth of the resurrection. I remember, there's an author from many years ago. His name was Dan Brown. You guys know this? Have you read any of his books? Anyone? Books like The Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, and stuff like that. So these are books that were written as an assault to Christianity. Here's what he says. He said, suggesting a Mary Jesus is one thing, because that's what he was suggesting in one of his books. He said, but questioning the resurrection undermines the very heart of the Christian belief. We live in a world wherein people would actually assault what you believe. Now look at this. Richard Dawkins says, this is quite funny. He says, presumably, what happened to Jesus was what happens to all of us when we died. It says here, we decompose. Accounts of Jesus' resurrection and ascension are about as well documented as junk in the beanstalk. Why am I pulling this out? Let me tell you this. When I was in college, this was many years ago, for the parents here, if I have experienced this many years ago, imagine what your kids may experience down the road. One of the textbooks that we have in college was The Selfish Gene by this guy, Richard Dawkins. And it's a required reading. And I want you to understand, this is the generation that we live in right now, to undermine the truth about the resurrection. And have you ever experienced having a thread in one of your, perhaps, jeans or blouse? Let's say you bought a beautiful blouse and there's this a thread that's hanging. What do? You're so lazy to get a scissor, and you start curling it and pulling it off. When you start pulling it off, you realize, my goodness, I'm destroying my blouse. I'm destroying my brand new blouse. The resurrection, if it is a loose thread, if you start pulling it, everything else will unravel. That is why what we're trying to do here today is to tie this loose end. Perhaps some unbelief that's running in your mind. You know, this is nothing new. Dan Brown, Richard Dawkins, you know why? Because the Bible actually prophesied about these things. The Bible actually said that these things will happen. Look at this one, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. What it says here, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But it says here, they became futile in their thinking. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they become fools. As a Christian, do you have friends who are more intelligent than you? Is it right? You have friends who are more intelligent than you, and then they try to engage you in a debate, and you know for a fact, I just cannot win this debate. Because my friend is such a loud mouth, he's more knowledgeable with all of these things. He can talk about clams, he can talk about all of these crazy things that's happening. But I want you to understand, sometimes you have to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. That sometimes in their knowledge, they think that they're intelligent, it's because their hearts were darkened. I'm sharing this because I want us to understand. Let me just get to this point for a while. If you get into these kinds of resources, you get on TV, you scroll through your Facebook and Twitter, I want you to understand, there's something wrong with your mind. Why? Because the Bible teaches us, okay, as an undertone, that because of our depravity, because of your depravity, what you see, you will download. Because of your depravity. So if you think reading such material things out there, scrolling through tweets, scrolling through posts on Facebook, you think it is harmless because of your depravity. What ought to be a fallacy, what ought to be false, become true into your life. No wonder Christians are veering away from heterosexual marriage, embracing feminism, and all of these things. Why? Because you don't have God's worldview for your life. That is why, if you don't get to God's word what? God's word washes and sanctifies our mind. So if you as a Christian will not get into God's word, you will become dumb. As what Romans chapter 1 says, you will become fool. You think you know everything, but it's because your heart has been darkened. Are you folks with me? And I hope and pray that you will not be one of those people who will start doubting the resurrection. Because if you start doubting the resurrection, friends, you start doubting your salvation. Let's look at the word resurrection for a while. The first mention, I don't have it here, but I have a picture. The first mention in the New Testament was when Jesus was talking to a group of people. Imagine this. The first mention of the word resurrection, at least in the New Testament, was when he was talking to a group of people called the Sadducees. Okay, the Sadducees are not the Pharisees. Okay, the Sadducees are a group of people who don't believe in the resurrection. I remember, you know, Pastor Donnie would always say before, they're called Sadducee because they don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they are sad, you see. You know, Jesus engaged with them about the truth of the resurrection because they don't believe in the resurrection. So this is nothing new. This is nothing new. I hope and pray that you will be a person who will totally understand and believe that, you know, when you look at the gospel, it is comprehensive. It is not just Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus was nailed on the cross. Man, it's far more than that. It's basically far more than that. Look at this one. Acts chapter 17, verse 52. This was when, if I'm not mistaken, okay, this is when Paul was preaching or teaching in Patmos. Is it right? Acts chapter 17, verse 32. So it says here in Acts chapter 17, verse 32, it says here, now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, okay, he was saying a lot of things. Now, when it came to the point when he was starting to talk about the resurrection of the dead, it says here, some of them mocked him. Resurrection of the dead? What do we mean when we say resurrection of the dead? We're not talking about someone who became a ghost. This is not an apparition. This is not a ghost. When we say resurrection, friends, take note of this one. This is bodily resurrection. And what you to understand is Jesus bodily resurrected. And do you realize that time will come when you yourself will resurrect? Parang nagulat kayo. Magre-resurrect ako. Pag nag-resurrect ka, mas maganda ka at mas gwapo ka. Because you will enter into your state of glorification. Okay? Kaya pag mag-time, basa-basa ng Bible para maintindihan nyo to. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 2. Let's go to the verse now. It says here, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. See? Paul himself would remind people of the gospel. Every single day of your life, I hope your quote-unquote quiet time would consist of what Christ has done for you, or it will lead towards there. Yet every single thing that you read in God's word, you have to make it a point that it leads towards what Jesus Christ has done for you and what you ought to do for him. All right? I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. He's talking to the Corinthian church, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, he says. He was like saying, so it's possible for a Christian to believe in vain. Right? Come on now. It's possible for a Christian to believe in vain. It's possible for a Christian to be in church and live life in the church, and when everything's said and done, we'll still go to damnation. Oops. It's possible for a Christian to lift his hands, but he has believed in vain. But I don't really think so, because a lot of times, people who would worship God with everything they have, they don't really know what happened to them. So kaya pag sa next service, taas na lang kayo ng kamay. Kahit din yun itin, taas na lang kayo ng kamay. Then it says here, verses 3 to 4, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, Paul says, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. I love that. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. So if you look at these things, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about in length the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about in length about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our future resurrection. Kaya basahin niyo po ito mamaya. Your assignment, write this down. Your assignment, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's the thing. It talks about the resurrection. But look at this one. I want to pull out this question for you. Why does Paul talk about the gospel when he was going to talk about resurrection? If this is a chapter that talks about the resurrection, why do you keep talking about the gospel in the first part, Paul? And the answer to that is very simple. The resurrection is an inextricable core component of the gospel. You cannot divorce resurrection from the message of the gospel. Men in this house, you know what I'm talking about? You cannot separate these two things. It will not hold things together. Are folks with me? So the gospel is not just Jesus died for you, because the gospel is also Jesus lived for you. The gospel is not just Jesus was crucified for you. The gospel is also Jesus was resurrected for you. That Jesus ascended to heaven for you. So the gospel is not just, you cannot just coin it in terms like, God loves you. Okay, why? When people start asking you, Eric, what's the reason for your hope? You want to know the reason for your hope? Let me pull out my one-to-one. Allow me to explain it to you. This is what the gospel is. Isn't it? Basta, tuo na lang. It's not like that. You have to clearly tell it to them. And of course, you can barely explain it to people if you yourself don't understand these things. He starts talking about the gospel, but he starts talking about the resurrection. Because these two things are intertwined to each other. The resurrection account is the part and parcel of the good news. It is part of the good news. Let me just proceed by looking at something in verse 3 to 4. You know, in verses 3 to 4, you'd come to understand that there are what we call the three core components of the gospel as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And very simple, the three core elements of the gospel are these three things. Jesus died, right? Jesus died. Jesus died for what? Come on now. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. Why was he buried? Because he died, right? But the Bible is very clear that he was raised on the third day. He resurrected. Why? Remember the equation, sin equals death, for the wages of sin is death? And that which do not have a sin cannot die. That's why he was resurrected from the grave. To resurrect someone from the grave takes what? Takes power. Come on now. To bring someone to life takes someone to have power to be able to do that. And no one else can do that other than God himself. Look at this one. It says here in verses 3 to 4. It says here, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. It's like if there is a category to our Christianity, the first importance is the gospel. It's like, I want to invite you to church because it's cool there. I want to invite you to church because our drummer has long hair. You got to visit our church. We have Pakistani in our church. We have Americans in our church. We have a lot of these things. Our people, they're basically, they're all good looking. As much as these things are true, amen? These things are not fundamental. These things take a backseat. So pag meron kang issues here, according to Paul, what should be of first importance is the gospel. Come on now. It's the death, burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the priority mail that you have to bring in. That is why, let me remind you, friends, that the burden of a truly converted heart is what? Evangelism, discipleship. If you are truly converted, if you are a true Christian, it is close to impossible for you not to have the burden to disciple someone. Because it is of first importance. If you look at the second part of verses 3 to 4, it says here, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. These things have been prophesied. Paul was like saying, these things would come as of first importance. Do you folks realize that much of the epistles of Paul were written before the gospel accounts were written? So it was not like he was reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, I'm going to write something about it. No! He was writing based on what? Based on interviews, based on interface with people, and all of these things. So he knew for a fact that what is of most importance is the gospel. The life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ in accordance with the scripture. This was at the heart of the gospel. Now I'd like for you to turn your Bibles with me once again to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at the second part of it. Let's look at verses 12 to 17. It says here, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Bible clearly tells us that if Jesus Christ didn't resurrect from the dead, we are still in our sins. If he died on the cross, nailed on the cross, and John was there crying over it, the disciples were sad about it, but the real good news is he rose from the grave. That's the real good news. Because every single world leaders out there also died. Some of them were also tortured. But none of them rose from the grave. So I want to talk about the significance of the resurrection in your own life. Few things. You know, Jesus' bodily resurrection distinguishes him from all other religious leaders. Another thing, none of the world's great religions have at their core a resurrected Savior. What you have right now is a sacred privilege that you ought to consider as of utmost importance to tell the people out there. Romans chapter 1 verse 4, it says here, it was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look at this one. It says here that he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection is the what? It is the proof of the atoning character of the death of Christ, his deity, and his divine exaltation. Yung resurrection po, resibo yan ng crucifixion. It's the proof of purchase that you have been bought by the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says here, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. You know, the resurrection gives us proof of Jesus' deity. It says here, was vindicated by the Spirit. Second thing that I want us to understand, look at this one. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. I'm looking at some verses in the book of Romans. It says here, who was delivered up for our trespass, look at this one, and raised for our justification. Listen, Bookmark Romans chapter 4 verse 25 in your Bible. Study it. You're gonna come to understand. Baka ma-bored again kayo. That this is substantial and this is profound. Look at this one. Let me look at the second part. It says here, He was raised for our justification. His resurrection was for my justification. He was raised from the dead so that we will be justified. The resurrection is a testimony to the certainty of our justification. How can you be confident that you're saved? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you confident that you are saved? Come on now. How do we know that? We look to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our redemption rests upon the truth of Jesus' resurrection. There are two clauses in those verses. The first part of the clause, it says here, He was delivered up for our trespass. That's right. That is why the gospel is comprehensive. Comprehensive ang gospel. He was delivered for our trespass. So why do we believe this? Come on now. So meaning to say, He was on the cross because of our sins. David's, Kevin's, Zar's, Matt's, our sins. May sin ka ba, Martin? Martin's na din, sama na natin. Our collective sin, church, past, present, future, brought this man to the cross. Is that a fact? That is a fact. Is that scripturally grounded? We just read that. That's what the Bible tells us. He was delivered up because of our trespasses, because of our iniquities, because of our sins. That's the reason why He was nailed on the cross. So it's like when I pray to God, when I pray to Jesus, I tell Jesus, Lord, You died on the cross because of me. That's what that verse tells me. But guess what? It doesn't end there. That's just the first part of the clause, because the second part of the clause, it says here, He was raised for justification. Died for my sin, raised for my justification. That God can declare me justified and righteous because Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. How much of that do we understand and believe, friends? The resurrection is not an afterthought. It is the assurance of salvation. Rest upon it. That's why I was telling you, it was a bodily resurrection. He was not a ghost during that time. Next thing I want us to look at is Romans chapter 6 verse 4. It says here, We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, look at this one, we too might walk in what? Look at this one. Read this with me. Newness of life. I look at that verse, I realize, wait a second. For quite a number of years, at least for me, okay, let me just be honest with you. For quite a number of years, I've studied resurrection. I get so excited with resurrection. But I got so excited with my resurrection. Why do I have to be excited with my resurrection? I think we all have to be. In the future, we will be resurrected. You folks realize that. I get excited. You know why? Because time will come wherein my body will know no pain. If I'm a Christian, this verse, you know, resurrection of my body teaches me, okay, wait a second. There'll be a time wherein there'll be no such thing as cancer. There'll be no such thing as heartache. In fact, I will lose my ability to cry because I will know no pain. And I'm not saying this to kid around, but I tell you what, time will come when I will have a glorified body. You will have a glorified body. Some of you ladies who's insecure about certain parts of your body, you will have a glorified body in the future. 80 years lang tayo dito, 85 years. Kung magwawalo ka pa sa insecurities mo sa buhay na to, baka you're missing out on delivering that which is most important, which is the gospel. Time will come wherein Bible teaches us that He Himself will what? Will wipe the tear in our very own eyes. Wipe yun na hinit, not blow dry. That's how personal Jesus is to me. Come on now. But I look at this verse, I realize, wait a minute. I've been thinking about that. I believe in that. I love that thought. I love the truth. But it says here, that we too might walk in newness of life. It doesn't talk about the future. It talks about the now. that my belief in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has an effect in my life right now. That's what the Bible teaches us. So we're not here waiting, siglang, magkasakit na magkasakit sa future. Right now, God can do something about your situation. That's what the Bible says, that you can break free from addiction. That you can break free from pornography. That you can break free from lust, from all of these things. That you can break free from nicotine and all of things that's pulling you from your walk in the Lord. In the newness of life now. Could it be that we're missing out on that we have in ourselves, in our own selves? That there is such a reservoir of power that God has given us, but we're not tapping on it simply because we don't know it, we are ignorant of it, and we don't just know all of these things. Our union with Christ by faith in His resurrection provides us the source, the power, the grace to live the Christian life right now. Tell your seatmate farewell right now. Ano po itsura ng Christian life mo ngayon? How does it look like? Are you always defeated? Is your head always bowed because, man, I messed up again, I did this again? I hope and pray that today, this very morning, you realize that God has the resurrection power to change the course of your life. Where do we get that? Romans chapter 6, the verse that we've read. From our union with Christ, it is resurrection. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, friends, ladies and gentlemen, is at work in you now. At work in you now. I hope whatever veil that you may have in your mind right now, you'd look at this truth and realize, Lord, you tell God, Jesus, I want that power. Could it be that your breakthrough lies in your belief in His resurrection power in your life? You know, Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of our own resurrection. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. As we end, let me just say a few more things for a while. Then I'm going to invite everyone on this Resurrection Sunday to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this. If you read all of these things, if you took photos of the verses and you studied later, you come to understand that this is not some fairy tale. This is not Frozen. This is not the story of, for our older friends here, this is not Looney Tunes. This is not some news to make you feel good. Not to make you feel good, but this is a news that will change your life. You know Paul? He could have argued from any of the scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what's the single argument that cannot be taken away from Paul? His experience with the Lord. Experience with the Lord. Some of you here, I was telling you a while ago, some of your friends might be more intelligent than you. They try to engage you in conversation, debate, and you can't seem to answer them. You know, a lot of times, you'll end up running out of words to explain the faith that you have. But I hope God will supply you with the words that you need. But at the end of the day, what's one thing that cannot be taken away from you? What cannot be taken away from you is your experience, your encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. No one in this world can talk me out of Christianity, because I know what happened to me personally, that my Savior and my Lord Jesus Christ changed me from the inside out. The single biggest argument that you have is the argument of your changed life. And my prayer for us is this one. How can the gospel change me? First thing I want you to understand, this is not one time, big time. The gospel will change you every single day. Yun po ang sanctification. Kaya po, 9 a.m. service, I want to invite all of you, get into God's Word. Get into God's Word. Don't settle for our daily bread. Get into God's Word. Allow God's Word to wash your mind. Allow God's Word to sanctify your mind. Allow God's Word to change you. This is a means of grace that God has given us. A means of grace to change us slowly from the inside out. You realize you've been cursing a lot of times before, but right now when things become hard, you stop cursing and all of these things. It happens because God has given us the means of grace. Huwag po tayo mag-church-church lang. Kasi kung mag-church-church lang tayo, sa bahay na lang, mag-Netflix na lang tayo. Mag-Facebook na lang tayo, mag-pumorma na lang kayo sa Instagram, mag-Twitter na lang tayo, matulog na lang tayo kung church-church lang. Ano man pinupunta natin dito? How can the gospel change me? Very simple. Ask for the resurrection power of God in your life. Lord, here I am. I stand before you, Lord. I am the sinner of all sinners. Simple prayer like, do you realize that you cannot will yourself to change? Do you realize that? That Archie cannot will himself to change. As much as I want to be this kind of person, I cannot will myself to do it. But I can come before God and tell Jesus, Lord, Jesus, deliver me from this. That is a gospel-centered prayer. Lord Jesus, change me, God. Every single day, yun lang yung prayer ko, Lord. Lord, change me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord, from anger. Deliver me, Lord, from this thing. Deliver me, Lord, from all of these things that's ruining my life. I ask, Lord, of your resurrection power to change me from the inside out. Who am I here? Agree that we are all sinners today? We will not be perfect in this lifetime. But my prayer and my challenge for is this one. Ask for Jesus' resurrection power in your very own life. He is risen. He is resurrected. And therefore, He brings with Him the power to change your life.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.